Hey, this is Jeremy Isaacs, lead pastor of Generations Church, where we want to live like it matters. For more information about our church, you can visit us at g.church. We hope you're encouraged by today's message. Thanks again for listening.
You know, today is Easter Sunday. It's also what we've heard, you've heard us reference it already as Resurrection Sunday. We use those terms interchangeably on this day because Easter Sunday is the idea that out in culture, everybody recognizes it's Easter weekend. But inside the church or inside the family of God, for those that are believers, we believe that this Sunday helps us to reflect on and remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is vitally important to us. This is not a fairy tale. It's not a made-up story. It's not something that you just kind of throw in your faith and say, oh, well, you know, I also believe some things that are, you know, hard to believe. But like there's that also that story about, you know, Jesus coming back from the dead. Like that's a cool story. We actually believe it's centrally, vitally important to the Christian faith. And we're not alone in that. We actually draw that from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing a letter. He actually wrote two letters that we have in the New Testament, specifically to a church or a group of house churches in the city of Corinth. So he's writing to a group like us in a city like us in a time similar to what we're walking through in our culture to try to understand how do we live among a people that don't all agree with us. And how do we live in a way that honors God? And what does it look like in the church and in the family of God? And so he's writing to them, and he says this to them in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 3. He says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all of the apostles. And then we skip to verse 13. For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless. I hope that's not true. And your faith is useless. I hope that's not true. So if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. And so as we read the words of the Apostle Paul here, what he's saying is, listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important. And the reason that it's important is because aside from it, apart from it, if we don't have it, then we're saying that we believe in a God who is actually limited by certain things. And what we're saying is that even death was not more powerful than him. So as Christ is being raised from the dead, so too we can be raised to new life in Christ. And so anything you have need of, anything that you're trusting God for, anything you're believing God for, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this Easter Sunday that we celebrate, proves to us that no power is greater than the power of God. So Jesus was buried, he rose, he appeared to folks, and the story spread because the story gave hope that we can have hope. And without that hope, our faith is useless. But I don't believe your faith is useless. I don't believe my faith is useless. I don't believe our preaching is useless because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that God raised him from the dead. So you can have faith when you're walking through your own struggles. You can have faith when you're walking through issues, when your family's struggling, when your health is in decline, when your marriage is on the rocks, when your finances are stressing you out, when your faith is low or even non-existent, you can have hope. You can have faith because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But how do you do it? If you believe that you can, how do you actually do that? How do you have hope when you're walking through moments like this? So I want us to look today to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 24. And we're going to look to one of the resurrection accounts in the gospels. And we're going to read the first 9 verses, and we'll actually come back in just a few minutes to the conclusion of this story here. Luke chapter 24. Beginning in verse 1, it says this, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember when he told what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered what he had said. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Now, I don't want us to move too quickly beyond the truth that's contained here in this story. Like, these women would have been a part of a larger group of people that had staked their lives on who Jesus was. Like, they had walked around and they had listened to him teach and they had watched him do the miraculous. And then they also watched with their own eyes as he was nailed to an old rugged cross and he died on that cross. And so you have to believe, because they are human, you have to believe that, like we would react, they had to react to think, man, what does this mean to us? And what does this say to us about everything else that he ever told us? Everything else that he ever did, like, how do we respond to what we're seeing? And so they just did what they were supposed to do on that Sunday morning. They went to the tomb to anoint his body. Now, that's something different than you and I might do in present culture, but that was something very appropriate during that day, that during the days after someone passed away, that they would anoint the body and care for the body. And so they go to the tomb, but when they show up, not only is Jesus not there, but there are two men that suddenly appear. That's what it said in verse 4. Two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. Now, the words here that are used in the original language as it relates to these two men are the same words that are often used to describe these angelic figures or these heavenly figures that would appear to humanity to proclaim or pronounce something of great regard. And so these are the same kinds of angels that would have appeared to, excuse me, to Mary at the beginning of the story of the Gospels when they were proclaiming to the shepherds that there was good news for great joy to be for all the people. And so you have these two men that suddenly appear and they're clothed in dazzling robes. And I love that part of the story because it helps me to recognize that this story is supernatural. Now, I recognize that some of us, we struggle to think about supernatural things. We want to keep everything in the natural. We want to keep everything where we can control it, where we can explain it, where we can understand it. But this story is a supernatural story. And that actually gives me great hope because it means that God is not confined by the things that I'm confined by. God is not constrained by my natural abilities and my ability to understand something, my ability to accomplish something. This is a supernatural story, but what I'm often guilty of is trying to solve the spiritual problems of my life with human solutions. You know, just work a little harder. Just talk to somebody about it. Just fill in the blank. And I think there's a lot of times when God invites us into the process, but when resurrection is needed, we need to go to God who brings dead things back to life. We need to bring our natural things to God and allow him to do what he can do supernaturally. That should actually give us great hope this morning. It should give us the opportunity to worship him and to recognize that he is greater than we are, and greater is he that's in us than he that is in anything else we would face on this earth. And I'm so thankful for that. So where I want to spend most of the rest of our time today is what these angels said to the women. If you look again at verse 8, it says this: then they remembered what he had said. Then they remembered that he had said this. Because remember, the angel said to them, remember that he told you this at Galilee. So the angels are reminding the women when they show up and the tomb is empty. Like, the angels are like, listen, here's what you need. He already told you this was going to happen. I know you're puzzled. I know you're confused. I know you might be scared. But he told you that this was what going to happen. And as soon as they heard those words, verse 8 says, they remembered that he had said this. So it'd be easy for me just to tell you, and you could assume that I'm telling you the truth, and I hope that you do, but we're going to read it for ourselves. What did he tell them at Galilee? Luke chapter 18, verse 31. It says, taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans. He will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again. But they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words were hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. They failed to grasp what he was talking about. It wasn't until they saw it, they saw the empty tomb, and they heard the words of the angels that they remembered, and then they understood. And man, that would be what so many of us desire. If we were being honest, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but like if we were being honest, if we could just say to God, God, if you would just show me, then I'd believe it. If you would just reveal this to me, if I could see evidence of this, man, then I would live by faith. If you would just show me, if I could just see it, I would believe it. I said this to us last week, but we were talking about this idea. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus in the flesh was standing right next to us, and instead of having to wear a bracelet that says WWJD, you could actually just turn and say, Jesus, what would you do? And he would say, well, here's what you should say to your coworker who's annoying you. Here's how you should respond. Here's what you should do in traffic. Here, you know, when you're doing your taxes, check this box. Don't check that box. You'll go to jail. Check this box. Do that thing. Like, if he could just tell us what to do, then we would do it, right? But if he would just show us, if we could just see it, then we would believe it. That's what so many of us, I think, would probably say. And you're not alone if you say something like that. Even one of Jesus' closest friends, one of his disciples, Thomas, had that same kind of experience. After Jesus was resurrected, he started appearing. We read that in 1 Corinthians 15. He started appearing to some of his followers. He shows up to Peter and the rest of the disciples, and later to a group of 500 in one gathering. And he just continues to appear. At the road to Emmaus, he shows up to two guys as they're on this journey. So he's appearing to these people. This resurrected Christ is saying, hey, I am here and I am showing you that the power of God's been demonstrated. And it's this amazing thing. But one night the disciples were together and they were locked into a room because they were afraid that they too were going to be arrested and put to death. So they've locked themselves in a house, and all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the middle of the house, and the door's still locked. That would be crazy, right? But Thomas wasn't there, just the rest of the disciples. And I don't know if Thomas, if his relationship with the disciples was like my relationship with some of my friends, but I feel like they would rub that in a lot. I feel like if I was like, hey, what'd y'all do last night? And they were like, oh, we just hung out with Jesus. What? What'd you do? Like, I feel like I've got some friends like that. And so then, 8 days later, we read this in John chapter 20. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. I would assume right here, this is just an aside, I would assume that Thomas stayed pretty close to them after Jesus appeared the first time, just in case he came back. 8 days later, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, and suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wounds in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. And then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. You know who he's talking about? You. Me. He's saying, like, Thomas, I'm so glad you got to see it. Thomas, I'm so glad that you got to touch those nail-pierced hands, like that you got to touch my side where the spear went. And like, I'm so thankful that now you can believe because you've seen. But blessed are those people who believe and yet they have not seen me resurrected. The word blessed here is the same exact word, even all the way back to the original language where Jesus, that Jesus uses on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, when he's revealing the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, in the midst of a world where there's just kingdoms all over the world. He's telling them that there are some things that they need to see about this upside down type of kingdom that he is creating. And so he says to them things that would just like not make sense to the human mind. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted. What? Blessed are those who mourn. Really? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Why? Because he's saying, like, however the world judges, whatever the world tells you is how you're blessed or how you're happy, I'm telling you there is something else that's at play in the kingdom of heaven. And that my nearness to you, that when you're mourning, you're actually going to be comforted. When you're making peace where peace didn't exist, you're actually then reflecting the heart of the Father, and you'll be called the sons and the daughters of God. And he just reminds us over and over that we can be blessed. We can receive his joy in our lives as we live by the guidelines of the kingdom of heaven. And he says this in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 5. He says, and we could rejoice and be glad because there is a reward coming for us in heaven. You can't see heaven yet. So the only way to see it is to believe it. The only way to actually grasp it is to hope for it. We have to believe that that heaven that he's talking about exists and that the rewards that he's talking about exist, but we have to cling to hope because we can't see it yet. And that's the invitation we've been given all along. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. He says, we live by faith, not by sight. We've been invited into a conversation and a relationship that requires us to live not by what we see, but by faith, those things that we hope for, according to Hebrews 11, that confidence and assurance that we have in the things that we can't yet see. Believing those stories of Hebrews 11, that by faith, so many people did these amazing things as they trusted God. We are trusting God too, and believing God to do those kinds of things in our lives. It's by faith that we live. But that faith is not uninformed. And what I mean is, in 1 Corinthians 15 that we already read, the Apostle Paul said that he was arrested just as the scripture said, that he was raised on the third day just as the scripture said. The angels told the women, remember what he told you at Galilee. Our faith can actually be informed by the stories that God has given to us in his word. Our faith can be informed. It can be strengthened as we understand the stories of faith that have been handed down and passed down. So the reason that the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to more than 500, many of whom are still living, is because when that was being recorded, he wanted people to hear it and go, well, who'd he show up to? Let me go ask them. Let me make sure. Let me corroborate this. Let me look to evidence and facts to actually back up this story so that my faith can be built. And then you and I see those things passed on from one generation to the next. And so our faith can be informed so that we live in such a way that recognizes that God has been planning this story, writing this story for all time. And so we have to choose to believe. And so we do. We choose to believe, and we choose to do so by remembering who he is and what he's capable of doing. It's the stories of faith. And that's what happens on days like today, when we're reminded of the stories of faith. And that's how the story concludes that we're reading today in Luke 24. Beginning in verse 10, it says this: it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and he saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. These women experienced something so powerful. They experienced something that, like, it changed their thoughts about who Jesus was again, to believe that now he had kept his promise. They remembered what he had said to them at Galilee. And so they had to run off and tell the story to Christ's closest followers. So they go and appear before the disciples and they say, hey, you're never going to believe this. We showed up to the tomb and it was empty. And there were empty linen wrappings there where he had been laid. And like he did, remember what he told us at Galilee? He did what he told us he was going to do. And the story sounded like nonsense to some of Jesus' closest friends, and they didn't believe him. Which evidently means that sometimes you can see it and still not believe it. It still requires faith to believe. And I know sometimes that there are things you want to talk about as it relates to who God is in our culture and in your relationships. And sometimes that feels like it's really pressure-packed. But let me just remind you of what you are actually called to. You are not called, your job is not to prove the power of God. Your job is to proclaim the power of God, right? You are not called to prove it. I know that sometimes it feels like you've got to get into a conversation and whatever they present, you've got to counter that. And then you've got to present something they can't counter. And listen, I believe that God's word can stand on its own. I believe that it can stand up to scrutiny. And I believe that the more that culture tries to fight against it, the more that it will stand firm. But you are not called to have to prove God to anybody. You're just called to proclaim his power to everybody. And when we do that, the one thing that they cannot refute is your story. There are going to be people that hear your story, and just like the disciples that heard these women tell the story, they're going to go, that's nonsense. That sounds like something supernatural. That sounds like something crazy. Like, I can't believe that. I'm not going to, and it sounds like nonsense, but it's your story. And the more that you tell it, the more that you honor God by proclaiming his power at work in your life. You once were lost, but now you're found. You once were blind, but now you see. You used to be sick, but now you're healed. Whether they believe it or not, you know the truth of what God demonstrated in your life. You don't have to prove it to anybody. You just got to proclaim it. And that's what we're called to do. But some people thought, man, that's nonsense, and they didn't believe it. But Peter listened to their story, and something different rose up on the inside of him. And he goes running towards that tomb. Now, John's gospel tells us that John also went running, and John liked to let us know that he was faster than Peter. You can read it for yourself. It's hilarious. It's like a little rivalry there. But this account, Peter runs to the tomb, and he peers in, and he sees that it's empty. Christ's body is not there, and there's empty linen wrappings laying there where the body had been laid. And he looks at it, and Scripture tells us that he goes home wondering what had happened. I've never had this thought until I was preparing for our time today. But I wonder if wondering is actually an act of worship. To actually take the blinders off and believe that maybe, just maybe, God is capable of doing something supernatural. To actually believe and to hope by faith for something that you can't yet see. To be filled with a sense of wonder. That perhaps God is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do. And so maybe you get to a place where you're not really sure like how it's gonna play out, and you're not really sure what it looks like, but you might ask questions like, God, is it really possible? And some people might classify that as doubt. I think that might be faith-filled wonder. God, is it really possible? Could you really fill in the blank? God, is anything too hard for you? This faith-filled sense of wonder, to hope with all hope, and to believe with all belief, those things that you cannot yet see, but you cling to because you want to live by faith. Believing in a God who holds supernatural power to do the things that you and I know we are incapable of doing ourselves. And the only way that it's possible to really create moments of wondering is through stories of remembrance. To be reminded of his goodness and his strength and his power that's been demonstrated before. So that you can walk up to moments where you stand before a cross and it feels like the end and it feels final and it feels like there's a period at the end of that sentence. But you're reminded of the empty tomb. And you're reminded that maybe, just maybe, it is possible to believe for more. And with all the faith that you can muster, you just say, God, I wonder if you might be able to do it just one more time. So what might you be wondering if God could do today? Maybe you recognize that your life right now is the epitome of the words from the book of Romans that tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And maybe you recognize that your life right now is a mess because you are dead in your sins, dead in your transgressions. And so you're here today and you're listening to this story and you've read this story and you've heard these songs, but you're wondering if God's forgiveness can reach to somebody like you. You're filled with wonder to, like, have I gone too far? Have I done too much? Is his love and grace and mercy, can it extend all the way to where I am? Maybe the doctor's given you or a loved one a really bad report, and you're just wondering if God might still be in the healing business. You're filled today with wonder. Maybe someone that you love is battling with mental health and they can't see the light for the closing darkness. And you're wondering to the Lord, can you remove their fear and their anxiety and their depression and their panic and give them a peace that passes all understanding? You're wondering. Someone hurt you deeply. And you're wondering if God can heal that hurt. You're wondering if you'll ever be able to trust again. And so many other things. But maybe for some of us, we just need to be reminded of the incredible truth at the beginning of Christ's story when the angel was declaring his supernatural birth in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, when it tells us that nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. When you're walking through a hopeless situation, you can be reminded of this truth, and it can strengthen your faith to believe that God can see you through each and everything that you face. But for so many of us, perhaps it's not that we've been wondering. We've just been wandering around. We've been kind of living our own life, doing our own thing, trying to figure out, you know, how to make us feel good. Or maybe we've walked up against some problems and we've been wandering around trying to fix them ourselves and see if we could be the solution, because we've tried to fix our problems with human solutions when they needed a supernatural touch from God. And today, maybe we need to shift from wandering to wondering what God can do. When I was a kid, I went to a department store with my mom. Some of you don't even know what a department store is. It was like a better version of Target before there was Target. Like, it was just awesome. And sometimes those department stores would send you catalogs before Christmas and you could pick out what you want. It was awesome. My mom loved department stores. When I was a kid, we went to a department store one day. We were walking around and she told me to stay close and she was looking. And I don't know how I did it, but I got lost. And I knew immediately, Mom is gonna be so mad at me. She told me to stay close and I didn't. And man, I tried to find her. I looked as hard as I could. I tried everything I knew to do. I mean, I felt like it was probably 10 minutes. In actuality, it might've been a minute or two. But I looked everywhere. Where would my mom be in this department store? I looked everywhere that I knew to look. And all of the sudden, I heard my mom's voice. Jeremy? I don't even think they would let you do this anymore, but they had given her the phone at customer service and she was talking to me over the speakers in the department store. Jeremy. Yes, Mom? She said, I know you're lost, but I'm gonna help find you. Stop wherever you are and just throw your hands up. So what do you think I did? I just threw my hands straight up. I threw my hands in the air and I waved them like I didn't do that. But I threw my hands up, right? And all of a sudden, this little old lady comes walking up to me and she said, are you Jeremy? I thought, how does she know my name? And she said, I want to help you find your mom. And she took me towards the front of the store. And when we rounded the corner and we got to the front, all of a sudden, my mom leapt from behind the customer service counter and she ran to where I was and she hugged me really, really tight and she was crying and I thought, she's not mad at me. And she hugged me and she said, I'm so sorry that you got lost. And I thought, I wasn't lost. I knew where I was the whole time. She said, I'm so sorry that you got lost. I'm so glad we found you. I love you so much. She just hugged me and cried. And perhaps today, some of you came and you've just been wandering around. You've been lost. Maybe in your sin, maybe in your struggles, maybe in your problems, and you didn't know how to fix it, and you didn't know how to find the right answer, and you didn't know how to find your way to God. And if you will allow me today just to be the little old lady that found me in a department store, if you will just stop what you were doing and lift your hands, the Father is coming to you right now. He's coming to you right now. And he's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He loves you. So stop wandering and doing everything you can to try to fix all your own problems and be your own solution. And just be filled with a sense of wonder. Because I can tell you that God can save somebody like you. And he can heal somebody like you. And he can do all of the various things that you're just not really sure. If we're filled with a sense of wonder and we live by faith and not by sight, and we put our hope and our trust in a God who proved that there was no power greater than him, not even the power of death, you can stake your life on it. He is able to meet you right there where you are. So I want you to take that response card that we referenced earlier in the service. We're asking everybody in attendance to fill one of these out. I promise we're not going to bombard you with a bunch of stuff. It just helps us to update our records, to make sure we have the best records to care for you well. Not just one per family. If you could do it one per person, that would help us a ton. There's some demographic information there. There's also a place for you to put any prayer requests you have. We're going to pray for every single need that is written down on these cards. And then on the back, there's some things that you can fill out that just help us to shape ministry over the next few months to make sure we're kind of responding to your needs and the things that you're looking for in a relationship with God and through the local church. But at the very bottom, and I'll give you time in a few minutes to fill out the rest of it, I want you to go to the very bottom of the back. There's four boxes, A, B, C, and D. A, B, C, and D. I'm asking everybody that would to fill this out. Let me tell you what they mean. Box A says, I am already in a real relationship with God. Like not just I prayed a prayer once. I'm saying like I'm in a real relationship, a growing relationship with God. Box B says, I'm beginning that kind of relationship today. I'm asking him to forgive my sins and to be the Lord of my life. In just a moment, we'll give you a chance to respond and we'll pray. You just check box B to say, hey, I know I'm a sinner in need of a savior. Today, I'm changing that reality. Box C says, I want to consider it a little more. Like I think that I'm ready to take that step, but I'm not quite sure, but I'm almost there. I just want to consider it. I'm still thinking about it, searching for some answers, asking God to show himself to, like I'll consider it. And then for some of you, maybe you would be so honest to just check box D and say, I don't ever intend to make that decision. I don't think that's anything I'll ever do. I appreciate the invitation. I'm here today because somebody I know or love invited me to come, and I'm glad to be here, but I don't think I'm ever going to make a decision like that. Just be honest enough to check that box. There's no harm to do that. And after you've checked that box, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to bow your head right where you are. We're going to pray together. And again, just a minute, I'll give you a chance. You'll be able to fill out the rest of anything you haven't filled out yet. But just A, B, C, or D. I'm already in a real relationship with God. I'm beginning that kind of relationship today. I want to consider it a little more first, or I don't think I'll ever make that decision. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, all I'm going to ask you to do is you just think about it. If you say, you know what, Jeremy, for me, I know that I am not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want him to forgive my sins and to be my Lord. I want to change exactly what you're talking about, and this being dead in the sin and the wages of sin being death. Like, I want to change that. I want this gift of God that is eternal life. And I want that to happen today. If that's you, would you just lift your hand? You've already marked letter B. You just lift your hand, several of you today. Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you for trusting us with that. In just a second, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray. Thank you so much. Now, if you would say, Jeremy, for me, it's not about salvation, but I need God to do something that seems impossible to me. In the natural, in my own strength, my own ability, I know I can't fix it, but I need God to do what only God can do. I need him to do the impossible. If that's you, would you just be honest enough to lift your hand? So many of us today, man, a ton of us today. Tons of us today. Thank you so much. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for Easter Sunday. We thank you for the resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, and that proves to us that there is no power greater than the power of God. And so God, what a day of celebration this has been. And so God, now we celebrate for those that have lifted their hand to acknowledge their need for you to be the Lord and Savior of their life. What a faith-filled step that is. And so God, I thank you for the courage they had to lift their hand. And so God, now I pray that as they confess with their mouth and they believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life, that God, you are changing their eternity. Thank you that you still save people like you saved me. God, we thank you for your forgiveness, your love, and your grace extended to us. And God, now I pray for every person that lifted their hand to just say, I need God to do the impossible. I need that supernatural work of God in something in my life, a relationship, a healing, a friend, finances, a job. Whatever seems impossible, nothing is impossible with God. And so, Lord, we thank you for that reminder today. And God, I pray that you would intervene right now. Let us know as we leave this place that you are with us. You know the need. God, respond in the way that only you can. And so God, in advance of you even answering these prayers that we're praying, we give you glory. We worship you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If today's message was an encouragement to you, we invite you to share it with your friends and family. Maybe subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It just helps us spread the word about what God's doing here at Generations Church. For more information about the church, visit us at g.church. Have a great day, and God bless.